Hi, this is David Steele of the Orlando Magic, and you're listening to the Penny for Your Thoughts podcast from the guys at Orlando Magic UK. Now it's over to Garrett, Mikey, and Paul. Go Magic!
In order for the magic to work, you have to truly believe in the magic.
What's up, Magic fans, and welcome to this week's episode of Penny for Your Thoughts, the Orlando Magic UK podcast. I'm Mikey, your host this week. As always, I'm joined by my friends Garrett Jones from the Valleys. Evening, mate. How you doing?
I'm okay, mate. I won't lie, I'm quite tired after last night's draft watch party that we had. Obviously, having to work today, you were a bit more sensible than me booking a day off, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw that one coming. And Paul, we've got Paul with us as well. How you doing, mate?
All right, matey. A very, very late appearance. I wasn't originally expecting to make it, but all good. So, yeah, good to be back.
Awesome. Well, we are recording this episode on Friday the 23rd of June. We're the day after last night's NBA draft. Some of us have had, as G said, sleep, and some of us haven't had much. And we've had a bit of time to sit and digest what unfolded last night. But before we dive into it, the Magic started the night, as we know, with picks 6, 11 and 36. What were your thoughts going into last night? How did you feel beforehand, Paul?
Right. I'm going to kind of reiterate what I said on the pod last week. I haven't got any great desires either way as to who we took, simply because, and I'm sure we'll come to this in a bit, but I was one of these guys. I wanted us to take Dennis Smith Jr. I wasn't excited at the prospect when we took Franz. I wanted Moses Moody. So, you know, I've not got a great track record of looking and thinking, oh, this is the guy, this is the man that we want. So I was quite happy. As long as we took somebody that addressed the shooting, somebody that addressed other needs that we'd got, then I was happy, or fitted in with our timeline and fitted in with what the Magic style clearly is. And I think ultimately we'll come to this, but I think we've kind of done that.
I don't think you're quite as far gone as Gary G, but you were a little bit more set on one or two players last night, weren't you, before?
I was, yeah. No, you're right there. But with regard to what just Paul mentioned, the picks, ideally I wanted to keep two. I didn't really want to move out. If we draft and move down, etc., I've been fine with that as long as we got our guys. Yeah, there was a couple of players, I'm sure we'll get into it in a little bit now, that I'd have rather we'd have drafted. But, you know, I've had a look at a few more videos today. I'm sure we'll get onto the two rookies that we've drafted in a bit. So I won't spoil it just now. But yeah, I did want other people at the time. But like what Paul said, what do I know? I'm just reading what others others are writing. You know, I didn't watch many college games last season. So I'm just going on, you know, what they think.
And I think it's another great example, like last year, how easily our minds can be swayed by going at what the mocks are telling us. Like last year, so many of us were kind of set on Jabari Smith because that is everybody had us mocked for weeks and weeks leading up to the draft until a day before, and things started to change. I was the same sort of mindset as Paul last night. I said this before we streamed and did our live stream last night, that I was really open-minded. I had guys I'd like to have picked, but I thought there was going to be a surprise in there, and there definitely was. But we'll get into that surprise into a minute. But let's break down the draft and what happened then. So as is the worst-kept secret in the history of the NBA, Victor Wembanyama went number one to San Antonio. Then at number two, Charlotte took Brandon Miller, which is where the draft began to get a little bit interesting. Despite all the speculation surrounding Damian Lillard in Portland, the Blazers took Scoot Henderson. I think that's still up in the air, would you say? I think there's a possibility Dame still could be on the way out, or he could get traded. There's something else that's got to happen there, hasn't there?
There's so much that you look and think, it could go this way, it could go that. But I know I read something pre-draft that said, why can't they play together? Their games could suit one another. We'll see. We will absolutely see. Coming back to the Charlotte one, mm-hmm. we thought we were disappointed at our 11. My God, Charlotte's reaction in their arena when they took Miller over.
Did you see the mascot?
Yeah. Hugo the Hornet wasn't happy, was he?
That was a fan reaction of disappointment.
Yeah. So for our listeners that haven't seen it, go and watch the Hornets in arena stream of their pick being announced, and the mascot stood there all excited, and then as soon as Brandon Miller's name, his head drops and turns around and goes to walk off.
I mean, there's boos in that arena. There are boos in the arena at them drafting him over Henderson.
But I get the fit. You've got two guys. They've got, what's LaMelo, 6'7", 6'8". Brandon Miller, 6'8", 6'9". This is the way the league's going. This is the way we've been building. You've got two ball-dominant big men, or certainly big guards, big wings that can do a bit of everything and shoot three. So yeah, I think it's a good fit for Charlotte. I think it would have been a bit more working out to do if they put Scoot there. But and then after Scoot went to the Blazers, in back-to-back picks, Houston and Detroit took the Thompson twins. Amon went to Houston and Assar went to the Detroit Pistons. So with the Magic at the sixth pick, Cam Whitmore, who'd been projected to go fourth in some mocks, fifth for the majority for quite some time, fell. So the Magic really had options of Cam Whitmore, Anthony Black, Taylor Hendricks, Jairus Walker, Bilal Coulibaly. They were all on the table for the Magic at six. And the Magic, I think, not to anyone's surprise, because it's been rumoured this way over the last week or so, the Magic took 6'7" point guard from Arkansas, as Paul likes to call them, Anthony Black.
I could not believe that we actually took him. That is going to hang around my neck like a millstone forever and a day whilst he is with us. Could not believe that.
Well, we can't use any dick jokes now because he's not on the Magic, so we've got to keep that one, haven't we? A versatile defender who can guard 1 through 3. Many have Anthony as the best defender in the draft. He's got great size, good athleticism. He's a good playmaker, excellent driving and finishing at the basket. And he's drawn comparisons to Oklahoma City's Josh Giddey. Obviously, the main talking point is his shooting. He shot 30% from three and 70% from the free throw line in college last year. What was your initial thoughts when you heard Black's name being called and when it happened? And now you've had time to process it. What do you think about it now?
Well, initially, as I mentioned, he wasn't the one I wanted. But having seen highlights, looking at what people have been saying, you know, we've got a big tick there in terms of athleticism. He's obviously, like you mentioned, very tall, big defender. He can move really well as well. That was echoed in the pre-draft combine. But what I think the front office have done is they've stuck to their principles, haven't they? Mm-hmm. Get a big, agile, defensive guy who can do the dirty work as well as your playmaking. My concerns beforehand was when you were watching the highlights, most of the highlights were either dunks or assists. Mm-hmm. There wasn't that many jump shots. And of course, that's probably down to his field goal percentage, etc. So 30% on three-point shots, you know, hopefully he can raise that a little bit. 70% from the line, as you've mentioned. That's quite telling, you know, good shooters, you're normally in the 80s. So hopefully that can be worked upon. But his finishing around the rim, I think that was quite a high field goal percentage. And in and around the basket shows he can drive, make the right play. So, all in all, probably the best player available on reflection. I know I wanted the other guys. But that was just, I think I was worried too much about the players that we do have and that we've got too many guards. And I thought maybe a forward big man might have been better suited to the team, but they've picked the best player available. And I'm really looking forward to seeing him out there, play with the guys. I mean, backcourt, put Jalen Suggs and Black on the floor together, you know, that's quite a tenacious defense there.
Good luck scoring on those two.
Absolutely. So, so all in all, quite happy with it now, but originally, maybe I wasn't, but it's not all doom and gloom. The front office know what they're doing.
Paul, you mentioned last week, I know you haven't really done much diving into prospects because you wanted to see who we drafted before we then had a good look at them. Have you had a chance to look at Anthony Black? And what was your initial thoughts? We'll obviously get into the 11th pick a little bit later on, but just targeting Anthony Black.
The only highlights I've seen of Anthony Black were related to writing the piece that Gary and I put out in the week. And the section where we were looking at, I think we covered six prospects. I did Anthony Black, so I'd had a little look at the videos there. He definitely fits with what our front office covet as characteristics in players. Very high IQ, basketball high IQ, defensive versatility. He's clearly a very, very unselfish player and very athletic. You've already mentioned his size. That gives us three really confident ball handling players in Paolo, Franz, and now Anthony Black, who are all over 6 foot six and confident ball handlers. He can play some forward, apparently. I've not really seen much of that, but as G said, most of the shots that you see are certainly drives at the rim. It does feel like he's a little similar to Markel. And I think in perhaps drafting him, it does bring up a lot of questions as to what your guard rotation is going to be and do we retain all the guards that we have? That's a question for another point. But he's clearly got a hell of a high upside. So on reflection, it feels like he was probably the right pick for the Magic, even though he wouldn't have been everyone's choice. I'm not pretending he wouldn't have been necessarily my choice. I would have rather have gone for some shooting side of things. But yeah, clearly a willing passer. If we can get some shooting to go round him, he will be devastating on the drive to the basket and that drop back pass, finding the guy on the outside trailing. That would be a good source of points. The other thing that is clear is that his defensive instincts are outstanding, his anticipation. The figure that I was drawn to is the 2.1 steals that he averaged per game. That's outstanding. And then perhaps to a lesser extent, the 0.6 blocks. Bear in mind, this is a guard. But 0.6 blocks per game in last season. It's 22 blocks in 36 games for a guard. That's a real strong contribution and something that clearly we're going to value. Comparisons, as you said, Mikey, Josh Giddey, Cade Cunningham. If you've got an amalgam of them two, I think we'd pick a good player up.
I think as well, defensively, you'll see a lot of like off weak side help from Black. I think that's where some of his blocks have come from, where he's come from the weak side and adding a bit more resistance at the rim because he's 6'7". He's got reported 7 foot wingspan. I'm not quite sure how accurate that is, but he's certainly somebody. I can see him being that sort of point of attack defender. And then you've got Jalen Suggs chasing the two guard around the perimeter and causing havoc. I think the two of them together, long term, could be, as G mentioned, I think they could be a really good tandem defensively. I think it was an underwhelming pick. I don't think anybody's really surprised. I think what selecting Anthony Black does more than anything, it's not a reflection on Black the player. I think what this does is create big questions now about what the Magic are going to do when you think we've already got Markelle Fultz, Cole Anthony, Jalen Suggs, Gary Harris. How can we make any sense out of what we're planning to do next? Do you think Gary Harris is going to get traded or waived? Can you see maybe Fultz, Suggs or Cole Anthony moving on? Do we offer them contract extensions and just see how it plays out? What do you guys think about that?
Right, I simply think at the moment, as far as us as fans are concerned, it's toss the straws in the air and see where they land. Your guess is as good as mine. I don't think anybody that we really know. I would suggest that with how quick the front office made that pick, they knew he was their guy. Mm. At which point I would anticipate that they already have some form of plan in mind as to where they are going and who they are planning on keeping. I'm not going to lie, I think it would be a shame to lose Markelle after the performances he put in last season. Again, I know he's not everybody's favourite. Jalen is potentially, I think, the one who's... He and Gary Harris are the two for me who are most at risk of moving on. Jalen, it would perhaps feel like it's giving up on him too soon. And I think he showed enough development last season for us to keep going personally. Cole, it's coming back to that question that we spoke about before. Does he want to be sixth man or does he want to be a starter in the league? If the answer is he wants to be a starter, then he may not be staying with us for much longer.
For me, there's five of them. So Fultz, Suggs, Anthony, Black and Harris. We've got 15-man roster. That's five guards taking up of the 15 spots. They're all very good players. Anthony Black isn't just going to be inserted in there just to play. He's going to have to earn his playing time. Yeah, so
I agree.
The other players, you know, are going to have to fight for their lives just to retain their spots. I'd like to see everybody return. Now, Black's going to be on a rookie scale contract now for a good 3-4 years. Suggs is still on a rookie scale contract. Anthony's just coming off. Fultz will obviously need an extension. So Gary Harris has got, you know, is on a last year contract if we retain him, if I'm not mistaken. So we've got flexibility there. You've got good depth and you've got to remember how many injuries have we had in the last couple of years?
I agree, G.
I would run with these five and just let them battle it out. And if Black can play a bit of three as well, especially with his size, give him a go there. You know, he might become, you know, have a calling card as a defender. And he could play a little bit of three if he earns his minutes. So no, it's all very interesting, but I think people are panicking a little bit too much, having seen Black get picked, thinking, what about the others? But there's no reason why they can't be on the team. Hmm. So for me, you retain them all. And I know, I think we've got a week until we've got to find out if Markel's contract gets picked up for next year, which I'm sure it will. So June the 30th is him, Jonathan Isaac and Gary Harris, I believe. So we shall see. But, you know.
I find it hard to see Markelle being moved because of what he brought to the team last season. I think he's going to be one of these people that could offer a lot of loyalty to the team because of the faith that we put in him and the opportunity we gave him. Hmm. But coming back to what you mentioned earlier about the pick, I think that's one of the risks, one of the issues of being six, seven, eight, it's never going to be the most exciting of picks. You're not picking in that top three where you're potentially getting a generational talent on paper. I mean, let's be fair. What we look at as mocks, it is exactly that. It's somebody's made up opinion of where they think people will fall. It's not based on having interviewed people. It's not based on having seen them physically work out in your facility with your team. It's just opinion on video or having been to a couple of games, because not a lot of the people that comment on the things. We say this about the Magic. A lot of people put information out and opinions out about the team. But if you watch the team, they bear no resemblance to actual facts. Based on perhaps watching one or two games. And I think equally, that's the case with some of the mocks at times.
Like Bol Bol, how many times have we seen over the last 6 months that he's a core piece that the Magic are moving forwards with?
Yep.
When we know, when he was out of that rotation, team's the best Magic defender. Were actually better. Yeah, exactly. Like I said, it just creates more questions and a bit more uncertainty about the long-term outlook. And I think I said this before the pick, I think, last night, G, you might correct me, but I think Cole Anthony's the one I'm going to be a bit worried about, because he's the one that's been here the longest, other than Markel. If you think he was, the 15th pick back in 2020? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Maybe 2019. I can't remember.
Or 2019. But he's due a contract extension, or he's eligible for a contract extension. He's talked about he believes he's a starter, and I think he feels he deserves a bigger role than maybe he's already getting. Yes, he was great last season. He was very professional. He played that sixth man role perfectly, and I think he fits that perfectly as well long term. But one of those three, Fultz, Suggs or Anthony's got to be looking in the mirror and going, this isn't a good sign that you're taking a 6'7" guard who can do a lot of really good things that that those guys can do. The only thing we're lacking is the shooting from three. I'm with G. I would roll back with all five. I don't see why there's an issue having the depth. And look, Gary Harris has been professional since we traded for him from Denver. He's had stretches where he's not played, stretches of games, so he's been relegated to the bench and we've been letting the young players play. We might see that again. There might be stretches where, like I said, Anthony Black's got the size that he can defend the three. So you can see lineups of Cole, Gary Harris or Suggs and Anthony Black all coming off the bench together. And then we've also got the 11th pick, which we'll talk about in a minute. But I don't know why everybody was so downbeat about the picks last night. I feel like the Magic got better last night. It's raised our floor. It's raised our ceiling. We said this last season. There's a lot of players on this roster that we all really, really like. And the reality is they aren't all going to be here when we end up contending in the next, let's say, realistically 3 to 5 years. Some of those players are going to have to move on. And if your game's not good enough, somebody else is going to come in and take your spot if they're capable of doing what the Magic envision long term. So, I think we've just got to see how it shakes out. But I think Cole Anthony's the one I'm going to be a little bit concerned of. Gary Harris seems like the easy option of going, right, well, let's move on, let's waive him or put him in a trade next week, to be determined.
Yeah, but the only other thing to add is we've got money to spend. We're not making a big push for a big fish in the free agency market. So you can retain these players for a decent salary on short-term contracts like we've done with Gary Harris in the past. You're not going to lose out because you've still got that flexibility coming in the year after. And keeping those five, there's a lot of situational lineups there. You could, if you want shooting there, you go Cole and you go Gary Harris. If you want playmaking, you go Fultz and Black. And then you got Suggs who does a bit of everything. Mm-hmm. So And who's to say, you know, Coach Mosey's going to ride the hot guy. And they're all capable. So it's a good problem to have. I wouldn't do anything other than just bring them all back.
I do take it that none of us feel Michael Carter-Williams is coming back.
I think there's a chance.
Not in a mentor role.
In a mentor role, yeah. But do you see him being... Yeah, do you see him being a roster spot then? Or do you see him potentially making that move to coaching?
It's a good question. I haven't really thought about it.
Yeah, it depends how the roster's looking and how many open spots we've got, isn't it? I'm sure that
This is what we were saying. When you look at the people that we have on the roster that are tied in, you know, there aren't that many open spots left available, particularly if you want to bring back, I mean, what we've got, team options and non-guaranteed. You've got Gary Harris, Mo Wagner, Bol Bol, Michael Carter-Williams, Gogo Bitadze, and Admiral Schofield, and then throw in Markel and Cole.
Some of them won't be back, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll go into that a little bit later. We'll go into that a little bit later. But the Magic have got, I think it's up to the 30th, up to next Friday to make a decision on...
On J.I., Markel, and Gary Harris, and then I think the 31st on a couple of others, Bitadze and Bol Bol. There might be one more. Yeah.
Cool. But I think overall, I think Anthony Black is a solid pick at 6. And I think he certainly gives us another dynamic. So after the Magic picked Anthony Black at 6, Indiana took Frenchman Bilal Coulibaly, 7th overall, and traded him to Washington after they took Jairus Walker at 8. A smart move by the Pacers. I think they got a couple of second-round picks in the deal for swapping a pick. Then at 9, Utah took UCF forward Taylor Hendricks, one of the guys we had our eyes on potentially at 6. And then Dallas took Cason Wallace, traded him to OKC after the Thunder took Derek Lively. Lively is going to the Dallas Mavericks. So with the Magic on the clock at 11, I think we were all sat there licking our chops. We were in dreamland because Cam Whitmore, amazingly, was still on the board. Grady Dick was available. Jordan Hawkins was still on the board. Then you had players like Kobe Bufkin, Keontae George, some really, really talented players. And then out of nowhere, the Magic selected Michigan forward Jet Howard with the 11th pick. A guy who was mocked to go 24 by Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer, 26th by Bleacher Report, 20 for ESPN. Yahoo had him at 21 before the draft as well. Son of former Magic player Juwan Howard, who coached him at Michigan. And he's now the third Wolverines player in 3 years that the Magic have drafted, as well as Franz and Caleb. And obviously, if Mo Wagner comes back, he'll be the fourth. A 6'8" wing. I'll let you guys tell me more about what you think of the pick. But I remember my instant reaction was just, wow. Like, that was all I could really say. Guys, what were your initial thoughts? Paul, I'll go Paul first this time, because yours was a bit delayed compared to ours, I think.
Right. I was I did end up watching. I'd like to thank Virgin for the lack of internet for the last 3 days. So I was watching on NBA League Pass on what should have been 4G. Unfortunately, that was dropping between the little E and 3G. So I was constantly waiting for buffering to clear. It was a pain in the backside. So I think you guys were probably looking at pick 13 by the time I found out that we'd took Howard. And my initial reaction, who? Because we'd not looked at him.
No.
No, none of us had he'd never been talked about. None of us had spoken about him. People we've spoken about in respect to the draft hadn't brought him up to us. Clearly, the boy's a big lad. Size again. It wouldn't have been my pick. But like I've said, I quite like the fact that the team ignored everybody else's mocks and opinions and went, this is our guy. Because again, they were quick off the mark, it would appear, in getting the pick in. So they clearly liked what they'd seen when they'd interviewed him. I think we'd had him in for a workout as well.
Yeah.
He must have ticked the boxes for that experienced panel that we have to sit there and go, that's our man. Don't care what everybody else is going projected at. We think he's this. So, whilst I say it would have been my choice, I'd never heard of the guy. I'd got no idea who he was, where he was. I was waiting for the little videos to pop up so as they could actually tell me what position and all this sort of thing. So that's where I started learning about the guy. It's since come out, hasn't it, that he played injured during the last season, which, fair play, shows dedication for starters. And it also shows that some of the stats that we're going to be perhaps talking about aren't where perhaps they could be. I remember last year, everybody saying that Paolo couldn't play defence. Yeah, that soon changed. So again, perhaps we're seeing another player coming out of one situation, being asked to do something in another and flourishing. But his shooting seems to be pretty damn hot. So, yeah, I'm going to keep an open mind, give the lad a fair chance. At the end of the day, he can't be as bad as Melvin Fraser Jr., so he's got to be a better pick.
Well, Jeff Weltman said in last night's press conference, he said he played most of the season injured and there's more to Jet than he was able to show. And they've reckoned that he had more to show in the second half of last season and it was basically masked through injury. But they feel he's got real defensive upside and could be a really strong two-way player, which is a good thing to hear. G, you were really not happy about last night's pick. Especially when it come through, you muted your phone, I think, with your notifications, and then it come through on your Apple Watch.
Yeah, it did.
Has that changed at all since last night?
Yeah, it has slightly. So I guess let's just put it into perspective. We've got the mock draft telling us, this guy's available, that guy's available. We knew we needed shooting. You know, we all wanted Grady Dick, as I'm sure all the Amway Center did with their chanting. Jordan Hawkins is still on deck. You're picking at 11. And then, I'd seen Jet Howard's name, but the fact he was, down in the mid-20s, you don't think that we're going to, get him at 11. So that was the only reason, really, that, everyone was a bit disappointed. It's because we've been reading these mock drafts, etc. So very happy that he's here with the team. Obviously, you guys have just touched upon his shooting. I did see almost like a heat chart of his three-point shooting, and he's just the ticket, really, exactly what we need. You've mentioned the size, 6'8". It's just what we want. Problem is, we all kind of fell in love with the Grady Dick notion that he was coming and all the fanfare that was around that. So that was basically the reason that everybody was disappointed, I feel. But no, it's a solid pick. Again, as they have with Black, we've stuck to the principles. We've got a shooter now. We've got athleticism. Weltman said he can play a bit of defense as well. He's obviously come from a strong NBA pedigree in Juwan Howard. I think I read his footwork's really good. And I'm sure he'll be the model professional coming from, an NBA family. So no, I'm looking forward to seeing Jet play. Let's hope he lives up to the name of the last Howard we had in pinstripes.
Yeah. I know you sort of shared this sentiment, Paul, because I put this in the group this morning, but when we look at the Magic passing on Grady Dick, especially, who was everybody's pick at 11, if he was on the board. I don't think there wasn't a Magic fan that didn't want Grady Dick with his shooting abilities, the best shooter in the draft, supposedly. I think part of that reason is that there's something about his character or something about his demeanour or the way he carries himself that I just feel like didn't sit well with Jeff Weltman. I think that played a big role. I don't necessarily think it's the style of his game or the way he plays. I feel like it's, you see, I know you get players with the TikTok videos, but just being a bit extravagant and a bit of a look at me sort of character doesn't fit what Jeff Weltman likes. That the players that we've drafted all have strong IQ, team players, team first players. And I just don't think Grady really fits that. I don't know. I don't think you guys can. Is there any disagreement with that?
Mate, I started to fall out of love with him from the point where we started to see him coming around to do workouts with teams. All the over cocky videos that he was posting. And I think the way he turned up and looked and acted last night at that draft, he lived up to his surname.
I reckon you got a suit like that somewhere in the closet, Paul.
I probably had something like that in the 80s. And I probably got called his surname for wearing it. I thought he lived up to his nickname, up to his surname last night. I thought he just didn't impress me in any facet. His, let's say, cockiness was how he was showing his suit off and the glasses. His post-draft interviews, quite inappropriate. I didn't like it. So no, I'm not. Good luck to him in Toronto. Hope he gets cold.
I've got no problem with self-confidence. I mean, none of these players would be here without any of that. And do you know what I mean? And a little bit of a chip on the shoulder.
Nothing wrong with self-confidence.
But
arrogance.
The cockiness and the arrogance is where I felt...
There's a difference.
It just didn't... There's just something about it for me.
So I started to fall out of love with him.
So I can see why they passed him. Jordan Hawkins, yeah. I was disappointed that they didn't go and get him. But... I don't know what you guys think. I think the biggest frustration at 11 was, like, gee, you said it perfectly about we're all sort of led down this path of these are the players that the Magic should pick at 11. It's Hawkins or Grady Dick. And you sort of buy into that belief that that's who fits what we need. And there is some of that in there as well. But yeah, completely out of left field. But I think the other frustration, and I think there's even some anger from certain corners of the fan base that went into Jet Howard's name being called, which is why people were so disappointed with it, was in between us picking at 6 and 11, you had Indiana made a deal with Washington to swap players, drafted players, to pick up a little bit more draft capital, and then you had Dallas and OKC doing the same thing. The only reason I can think that they got Jet Howard at 11 is that they had some intel that another team that was right behind us in the draft or in and around that area were going to take Jet Howard as well. So if they were going to say trade back 5 spots, there is a risk. He's not on the board and he's gone. And if he's that guy, just pick him at 11. But I think when you see that he was mocked to go in the 20s for so long and you pick him at 11, it feels like a reach. But the fact that we didn't pick anything else up, like another future first or another player in a package or something like that, I think that's where some of the disappointment is. But look, we went into the draft. We said, let's take a swing with one of the picks if we're going to keep both picks and get a shooter. Well, Jet Howard's a shooter. I mean, to me, like I said already, they got better last night. Any other thoughts? G?
No, I completely agree with you there, mate. Absolutely hit the nail on the head. Stuck to the principles, got athleticism, got shooting, got better. And yeah, we could have got another second round pick, but what we're going to do, we're just going to trade it back for to 2040 anyway, aren't we? So, do you know what I mean?
Well, that leads us on perfectly. Go on, Paul.
If we're going to talk about that second round pick, that's where I was going to go then. That's fine, yeah. I'll wait.
Well, like I said, as we expected, with the Magic taking two players at 6 and 11, I don't think any of us thought there was a chance of us using that 36th pick. If they were going to use it, it could have been maybe a draft and stash player and go and send the player back overseas for a year or two. But instead, the Magic traded the pick to the Milwaukee Bucks for a 2030 second round pick and Jeff Weltman's favourite asset, cash considerations. Surely there must have been more value out there than a bit of cash and moving a pick, 7 years down the line?
My frustration at this is it's become almost a Magic tradition now, hasn't it? That second round, somebody else can have our pick and we move it on for years to come. What is the point in investing in having a G League team, putting money into it, if you're not going to then develop talent to come through to your team? That's my frustration in not taking a punt on what there was supposed to be some really good players available in that draft at that position of the draft. So it kind of just doesn't make a deal of sense to me. Again, I'm going to say the same thing as we've all been saying. We are not the experts. We are three fans who enjoy voicing our opinions about basketball. We don't pretend to be the fonts of all knowledge. We don't pretend to have the answers. We do accept that there are people who have far greater knowledge than we do. But it is a frustration as to why we don't take somebody to give them the opportunity to develop, to come into the team. We've seen it with, you know, players that have come through the system in what was Lakeland, now Osceola. Just doesn't make any sense not to use that pick to me. And let them have. I agree. I understand that there's that to develop somebody, they have to have a pathway to play. They have to have minutes. But that player would have minutes in the G League, even if they're not particularly getting minutes with the NBA league team. And they still get to practice and play as part of a similar system and are still coming in and getting opportunities in the NBA. I would have liked to have seen us use it, and I found it quite frustrating that we didn't.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And you've even got the option of, you know, a draft and stash and keep them in Europe to just hold their draft rights, especially somebody at 36, where obviously, you know, it's very close to a late first round pick, isn't it? Yeah. Whereas we don't know where the Bucks are going to be in 2030. Hopefully they'll be in the 30s, but who knows? We don't know what's going to happen with Giannis and that team. But no, I totally agree with you, Paul. Obviously, you've got to make use of the local G League team and try and use the draft and stash method that some teams have, you know, had great success with. There was a couple of prospects there that I quite fancied bringing over, but obviously, I think we're going to be struggling with roster spaces with the current team we've got with the main ball club.
The only thing I would have said is, who went 36th? Andre Jackson Jr. from Connecticut went to Milwaukee. The biggest glaring need, and we'll talk about this in a minute, is a backup big now for me.
Yep.
And this 100%. Draft did not have many backup bigs. Well, it didn't have many bigs in general. James Nnaji went to Detroit, 31. I mean, have they not got enough bigs already with what they got? But once he was off the board, I mean, there really wasn't many big men available last night for me. To be honest, I think going for a veteran backup big is probably the right move at this point. But like you said, it's a high pick in the second round. It's not like it's the 40th or the 50th pick in the second round. You'd like to think they could have got a bit more, even if it was 2 second round picks for trading for this one. I don't know, but anyway, so the Magic ended up with Anthony Black at 6, Jet Howard at 11, and obviously trading away the 36th pick. How would you grade last night's draft for the Magic?
Go on, Paul. Let you go first, mate.
I'm going to go B. I'm going to go B simply because we haven't looked at Jet Howard. We haven't looked at him. We don't know what we've got particularly. And I'm assuming that a lot of what we are seeing is of last season when he was playing injured. But he clearly is a good shooter. We've picked up best available and addressed need. So you can't be critical. I'm simply going B because I don't know enough about somebody to make a damning judgment or a glowing one. I trust the front office. They've had more hits than they've had misses in the drafts with us. So I'll go B because I think both have developmental needs that have to be addressed.
I also agree with you there, mate. I'd go B. Obviously, I think Anthony Black probably scores higher across a lot of the experts grading. And then Jet probably, in the sort of C area. So if you sort of balance them out, I'd probably say, a C+ for Jet and maybe an A- B+ for Black. So probably settle on a B. As I've mentioned before, got what we needed, stuck to our principles, got shooting, got athleticism. So we just need to make sure now these guys pan out. Disappointed, as we just mentioned, with 36 just being almost given away. But here's what it is. But the only other thing to add on that is I think we've got about 5 second round picks in the next couple of years sort of built up as an asset. So, I mean, you look at some of the trades going down at the moment. I think between Washington, Boston, who else was it? I think Dallas made a trade. There was a bunch of second round picks traded. So you've got them in your back pocket. So that they're just, building up our
cash considerations.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of money put aside and second round picks. So it's a good place to be. We've got around this the hard way. They had they inherited a bit of a mess after Hennigan. So they've really turned it around, taken their lumps. And we seem to be in, one of the best situations now of all the 30 teams, especially in a rebuilding situation.
I don't like it when the three of us agree. It doesn't happen very often.
Doesn't make for good viewing.
No,
we needed Gary on.
We need an argument. We need somebody.
I'm going to go slightly different. I'm going to say a B+. I think Anthony Black is, and I've heard this a lot over the last week or two, at a lot of the players in this draft, Anthony Black is one of those players that just can't fail. I just think he's a solid pick.
Yeah.
Even if he doesn't develop a three, I just feel like in 5 years' time, could he be better than Markel Fultz is now? I think it's a genuine question. I think, like Paul said when we first talked about it, there's a lot of similarities between the two of them. You're talking about a guy who doesn't turn 20 until January. He's got 5 years on Markel Fultz. And he's already playing with some players with an established core that are going to grow together. I think Anthony Black, I wouldn't call it a home run, but I think it was a very, very good pick. Jet Howard, I think it surprised everybody. But at the end of the day, we said we needed to leave the NBA draft with a shooter. We got that shooter. clearly to pass on Jordan Hawkins and Grady Dick. Clearly he was the guy that the front office wanted. Whether they traded back for him or they didn't, they got who they wanted, and that's quite clear. So I'll give it a B+. Happy days. Just quickly, side note, there's a really good article, if you want to sort of keep your feel good vibes going, on Forbes.com. They wrote an article earlier on saying the Orlando Magic are the NBA sleeping giant in the East. Something we already know, but they do a really good job of tying it all together and explaining how not only have we added two more fresh lottery picks with high upside, how we've still got cap room, we've got flexibility with various size contracts and everything else, and why we love Kyle from the view from the cheap seats, but I think his takes are a little bit on the other side.
It was downbeat, but I think had you asked G, had G been in the arena and he'd been asked as he came out, you'd have probably got some similar sorts of answers, G. The disappointment at that point.
The disappointment at the time, yeah.
And I think this... Do you know what? This draft night feels like it fits perfectly with how this front office have been rebuilding. When you sit down and look at it, they've been going about things patiently and efficiently. Mm-hmm. They haven't taken shortcuts. We've all been saying that there's no need to rush this summer. So they've actually stuck to those principles that we've all been talking about and saying that quite happy with this anyway. We've all said that, yes, if the opportunity's there and it makes you better, take the big swing. But none of us have felt that this summer is that summer that we need to make that big swing to make that jump further. There's still that argument that we didn't actually see some of the potential of some of the players due to injury last season. So we still have elements of we haven't seen this team play as a team together. We've got to remember we had the biggest jump of wins in the East. Mm-hmm. We have that core of players pretty much still remaining. So let's give it a go. Let's see how these two guys fit in. I don't see the need to be downbeat about it yet. Give it a go.
Let's not forget.
They've not stepped on the court for us yet, have they?
No. And let's not forget, we're going into year two of Paolo's career. It's year two of Paolo and Franz playing together. This is still really, really early on in the build. The rebuild's already, the wheels already spinning, aren't they? And I think if we look at Denver, there is no need to make a big splash. I think patience is a big part of it. And obviously, there's going to come a point that there's a bit of a log jam. We can see that coming ahead, and there's going to be a decision that's going to have to be made later on down the line. But we don't have to rush into that. I think if we just, and we're going to dive into this now, but if you just go and give Markelle Fultz and Cole Anthony a contract extension, doesn't mean that we're stuck with them. Look at Jordan Poole. He signed a max extension with the Warriors. And now, 6 months later or a year later, he's traded to Washington for Chris Paul.
Wasn't it 4 days ago that their GM was saying, we see him being sticking around. That was the reason behind giving him the contract extension. We see him being around for years to come. Things change, don't they?
And if we are looking down the line and there is, I don't know, Giannis becomes available, Luka Doncic becomes available, or somebody of that sort of pedigree, you're going to need big contracts to make deals work. So signing Fultz and Cole Anthony, for example, to a contract extension, yeah, it might not make sense in the short term, but in the long term, if you still want to create that flexibility and give yourself the power of having a mix of contracts and young players and draft picks, because we still own all of our own draft picks as well, that there's still all of that that you can chuck into a pot for somebody else. But I just don't think it's essential when we already know that we've got a really, really good young core, and we've got two future all-stars at the very least in my eyes. So we'll see. But we're 1 week away from the start of free agency. Starts next Friday, the 30th of June, from 11 o'clock in the evening, 6 o'clock Eastern time for our friends on the other side of the pond. As we've already touched on, the Magic have got decisions to make on Markel Fultz, Cole Anthony, who are both eligible for contract extensions. Gary Harris has a team option. Mo Wagner is an unrestricted free agent. And then I think G already said Michael Carter-Williams, Gogo Batadze, Admiral Schofield. Got decisions on those to make. And obviously Jonathan Isaac's contract is still partially guaranteed as well. So how do you view the roster? We're not going to go too deep into this because we've got loads of other episodes over the summer to fill some content with. But how do you quickly view the roster now? And what stands out that you think we need to do? And is there anybody you think we should go after in free agency next week that, I don't know, just finishes off and fills out the rest of this roster going into next season?
I think the balance is pretty good, in fairness. Obviously, it's the backup centre role that is the most concerning. You bring one of them back in terms of either Mo Wagner or Batadze, because they're not, you know, dependable. Obviously, Wendell Carter, you know, he hasn't played a full season, has he? So you need a very dependable centre to come in and take those minutes. And then if you have Batadze or Mo Wagner as the third stringer, I'm okay with that. Gun to my head, I'd take Wagner. I like his chippiness. I like the way he gets under people's skins, notably Luka Doncic. That was a lot of fun. So I'm targeting a backup center, and I've mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but Naz Reid, you know, big guy, sets big screens, cleans the glass very well. I think he developed a bit of a three-point shot as well. I think he made a couple against us. Not that I watched too much of the Timberwolves, but I think he's just the guy we need. I don't think he'd be that expensive, but you could throw enough money at him just to turn his head. So it all depends if he wants to, you know, come to a team that's rebuilding something big like this, or, you know, does he want to just go and chase a ring somewhere? So he's my one to watch.
Backup center and veteran. Definitely some veteran experience into that locker room. We're loaded with options. We've got, as you've already said, Mikey, and we wrote in an article this week, we own all our own draft picks. We have so many options. We are well below the draft cap. You can, salary cap. You can extend that further if you get off of Jonathan Isaac's contract or you stretch him. You can get yourself quite a bit of space available. I would like to see us get contracts sorted with Cole. I would like to see us get a contract sorted with Markel. I think that you do both those contracts in a similar style to what we did with Vooch and several of the players before that, where you front load it so as it makes those contracts easier to take on board by other teams subsequently, if you are, when you've perhaps don't need that player, when others have developed, or you're in that position to make that swing. So that'd be my view. But when coming back to your question about where would you grade the draft, it's just one part of the summer.
Yeah.
I would rather look at the summer as a whole, because I assume that we've got some big plan that they're working towards.
Mm-hmm.
What about yourself, Mikey? Mate?
The dream is Nikola Vucevic coming back as the backup big, but I don't think that's very realistic. I'm looking at Mason Plumlee. Naz Reid, I was having a little look at this when I was doing some prep, was he's only 6'9", 6'10". He's a bit more undersized than I thought. He's, don't get me wrong, he's a very good player.
He's a big bloke, though.
He is. But I would like a little bit more shot blocking, if I'm honest. Thomas Bryant, Andre Drummond. We're talking maybe like a year stopgap. It doesn't mean they're long-term fits at the backup five. But I think maybe any of those sorts of guys are really going to do a job. I wouldn't be surprised if Bitadze and Mo Wagner both return. Again, we're talking about, we don't need to speed the process up. I know we want to win more games and that's the next step, but that comes from internal improvement. And if Banchero's going to improve his efficiency and improve his outside shot, that's going to make a big difference this year. Same with Franz. If Markel can continue to stay healthy for another season and continue to build on what he did last year, Jalen from shooting the three, there's lots of versatility. I wouldn't be surprised if MCW comes back as your third string point guard, and I don't even think he'll even play. But if you're going into the year with Markel Fultz, Anthony Black, Suggs, Cole Anthony, Gary Harris as five guards, stick MCW in there as well. Black and Harris can play a little bit of the three if we really need to. Don't forget Caleb Houston, if he can build on what he did last year. Jet Howard's probably capable of playing maybe the 2, 3, and the 4. There's versatility with his size. I would like an upgrade at the five. If you gave me Mason Plumlee, Dwight Powell maybe. Somebody like that as your backup, and then have Mo Wagner as your third string, whether it's MCW or another veteran guard that comes in as your third point guard, I think that's all we really need to do. And let's not forget we can play the season out. We get to the trade deadline, and if we think we're ready to make a bigger jump and something becomes available, then you're in a position you can do that as well. So. Any other thoughts?
No, agreed. I know you've got to remember you've got your two-way contracts as well. No, we haven't got anybody designated to them at the moment. And
There's three slots now as well. There's not two anymore. Yeah.
I think we signed somebody who didn't get drafted to the Summer League team, Kai Soto, 7'3", 21-year-old Filipino center, just to give him a go in the Summer League with the guys. So that'll be interesting.
Is Giannis Tima coming back?
I don't know, mate. I wouldn't mind him. I liked him.
He was good. So as you just said, G, touched on it. NBA Summer League starts on the 7th of July through to the 17th in Las Vegas, where we'll likely see Anthony Black, Jet Howard, and probably Caleb Houston all feature. But obviously, we'll cover that in the coming weeks. The draft's done. We can now turn our attention to free agency. Any closing thoughts, guys?
Don't be downbeat.
It was a good draft. Yeah. It was a good day. The Magic got better.
Give them a chance to play on the court and then make a decision on whether they're a good player.
Exactly. And lastly, you can support today's episode by visiting either Fanatics UK or the NBA Store EU using our affiliate links in the description of the podcast. You can get Magic merchandise, sports jerseys, fan apparel over at Fanatics as well. If you use our discount code MAGICUK10 at the checkout for 10% off your entire order, or use one of their discount codes on the website, as long as you click our link, then that helps support what we do. And finally, head over to our own online store, magicfansapparel.tmall.com, for some Orlando Magic UK merch to help support the show. And now we've had our draft picks, I'm sure we'll probably put some more designs up in there that you guys can do. And if you want, and if you live internationally, if you live in the States, I think there's international shipping available on our store too. And that helps support what we do. So thank you as always for listening and watching. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, Orlando Magic UK. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Orlando Magic UK. So from Geraint, Paul and me, until next week, go Magic.